Romans 8:14. If you guys have your Bibles, if you want to turn there, Romans 8:14. We'll start there. I have a few scriptures tonight, but that's the one we'll start with. And I guess I want to read Romans 8:14 and also Romans 8:17. But Romans 8:14 says this: "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." You know what? Let me back up. Verse 12 says this: "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." And then verse 14: "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." And then verse 17 says this: "And if children, then heirs, if heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together." So we're heirs of God and we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And Timothy, it says, "Let this mind also be in you, which was in Christ Jesus," talking about having the mind of a servant, coming to serve humanity and serve people and love our neighbor. But also Jesus, having this mind in him, knew that he was the Son of God, knew that he was God, knew that he was royalty, knew that he had authority and he had power. But yet his mind was, with all of that power and all of that authority and that heirship with God and the owner of everything, he humbled himself and became a servant. And so God tells us to have that mind in us also. So what I want to hit on tonight is the point of we are heirs. We are sons and daughters. We are children of God. We're not just servants. We're children of God that should have the mind and the heart of servants, yes, but not going around our Christianity or our walk, "Well, I'm just a servant." There is a big difference between someone who has a mindset, and you can all attest to this if you've worked anywhere for any length of time, or if you've owned your own business or any of those things, if you've been out in the world, in the workforce, in any way. There is a big difference between somebody who has a mindset that "I'm just an employee, nothing more," and someone who has a heart of ownership in the company. Somebody who wants their business or their place of employment to succeed and do better will do a whole different job than somebody who's just coming to punch a clock and finish what they're doing. Big difference. And in our Christianity, it is very easy. In our walk with God, it is very, very easy to have the punch the clock mentality. "I'm just coming to do my thing. I'm just coming to punch in on Saturday night." You know, it's hard not to say Sunday morning anymore. But "I'm just coming to punch the clock and do my good deed for the week, and that's it." Or "I'm just coming to pray a little bit and do this, and that's it." See, there's a big difference between that and having the mind of ownership, a mind that has ownership and a desire for success in whatever it is. And in the kingdom of heaven, it very clearly in Scripture tells us to let the mind that was in Jesus Christ be in us also. To, yes, have the heart of a servant, but the mind of a king. The mind of power and authority, the mind of ownership of the kingdom of heaven. See, there's a big difference. A story to illustrate that would be this. There's an old farming couple. They owned a fairly, not a real big farm, but a decent-sized farm. It was a fair amount of land, and they had livestock and animals and milk cows and chickens and, you know, all the stuff that goes with that. And early on in their farming, they hired a farmhand. And the farmhand's job was simply to take care of the animals. His job was to milk the cows, collect the eggs, tend to the chickens, feed and water all of the livestock and animals, whatever they may have. So he'd done this for years. But the couple began to get older and up in age, and so the farm began to deteriorate in the sense of the farmhand still came and did what his job was to do. He still fed the animals, still took care of the animals, did all there was to do with that, but nothing more than that. Well, when they got up in age, the gravel road to the farm began to have potholes and dips and needed to be filled in, and the roof began to decay, and the shingles were battered and weathered and worn, and they were worn out and they needed a new roof. The barn, the paint was flaking off and some wood had begun to rot. All of these things had begun to deteriorate because they were getting up in age and they weren't able to keep it up like they were before. But yet this farmhand came every day, did his job, nothing more, and went home. Took care of the animals and went home. And then one day, the elder couple called the farmhand in after his duties were done, sat him down at the kitchen table, and they said, "You know, we're getting up in age, and we don't have any children to will this to, so we would like to give it to you when we pass away. This will be your farm when we go, and we're going to put this in our will, and it's yours." Well, the very next day, he finishes his chores and starts painting the barn. And then a few days later, after he finished painting the barn and changing the rotten wood, he put a new roof on the house. The week after that, began to fill potholes in the driveway. Everything came right up. Why? Ownership. See, we have to realize as believers, we have ownership in the kingdom of heaven. We're not just a servant. We're not just employees of God. We're not even employees of God. Jesus said, "I no longer call you servants, I call you friends." We have ownership in this. We have family blood in this. The blood of Jesus Christ not only cleanses us from sin, but it stamps us as royalty, as sons and daughters, as heirs of the kingdom of heaven. And if that mind, which was in Christ Jesus, transfers to us, that mind of ownership in the kingdom of heaven, everything around and about us in our Christian walk, in our relationship with God, will change just like the farmhand's attitude and actions changed. They changed to suit the change in his mind. What changed? His pay? No. What changed? A talking to? No. What changed? A brow beaten for not doing more? No. Nothing changed but ownership. A mindset that I have a part in the success of this thing. I have a part in the success of the kingdom of heaven. God gave me through his blood and through Jesus Christ his son, not just salvation, not just forgiveness, not even just power and signs and wonders and miracles. He gave me a part of ownership of the kingdom of heaven. As a child of God, I am an heir to what he has. As a daughter of God, as a son of God, you are an heir to what he has. And if we get that mind in us, it will change everything about us. It will change how we act. Suddenly, the person that walks by that's limping, or the person that comes in, we come in contact with and says, "Hey, I'm sick, I have cancer," or this or that, our response will not be like the farmhand before of, "Oh, wow, I'm sorry." Exactly. Exactly. That's it. It is our job. We have ownership of the kingdom of heaven. What it looks like. What it feels like. To the world around us, we have a responsibility in because we have a part ownership in it. You know, if you work for a company and you're just given your paycheck, you're going to treat it a whole lot differently if that company comes to you and says, "You know what, you're going to get a percentage of the success of this company." There's going to be a whole different ballgame attitude change in that instance. Just like the farmhand. "This is yours when we pass." And immediately, a shift in his mind, and he starts treating it like it's his. And see, too often in Christianity, in our walk with God, in our relationship with him, we get that mentality of punching a clock, or that mentality of the lack of ownership and the servanthood and the employee type of thing, and we don't take ownership of the kingdom of heaven. We got to take ownership. It's part ours. The success of it. It's going to be successful with or without us. But the point of this is this. I don't want that opportunity of part ownership, of success, of blessing, of goodness, of stories to tell in heaven, of eternity passing by and missing out on that opportunity. Of sitting at the table with that couple and saying, "Nah, I really don't want the farm. I'm going to go work at Walmart." Who would do that? No one. So in the kingdom of heaven, it's true of us too. We can't have the mindset that it's just a punch in and punch out, or it's just a duty thing. It's not a duty thing. It is a thing that we have an ownership in, a part in the success of it and how it looks to the world around us. John 3:1 says this: "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him." Behold, what manner of love. So thinking about that, I mean, what kind of love does God have that he would give us through the torture of his son and his shedding blood? Would he give us he had to do that to give us that ownership. He had to do this to make us heirs. He had to do that to redeem us by his blood, to forgive us of our sin, and to set us back on the right path in relationship with him. But there's more. It's deeper than that. He gave us a bloodline ownership of the kingdom of heaven, of all the blessings and all the good things that are there. That's why we can have power and authority, because it was shed blood that gave us that right. Not only to be forgiven, not only to be washed clean, but also to advance the kingdom of heaven, to make it go forward in the world around us. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, 'Abba, Father.' Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." I don't think it could be spelled out any clearer. We are heirs of God. We have a part ownership of the kingdom of heaven and the success around us. And in the world around us, in our day and time, there are things set before us, specifically us, that just like Jamie talked about earlier, needs to be a point and a place in time, and there will be many, many, many of those. See, let me explain this. Just like taking ownership, the farmhand did, and he began to make the farm nicer and fix the roof, and he began to paint the barn, and he it was going to be his. So I got to imagine he's painting the barn the color he wants to paint it, and he's putting the color shingles on the roof that he wants to put on there. See, there's things that are originally you and that are originally me in the kingdom of heaven that God has placed in our heart, that God's put in your heart and your heart only, and that will come out if you get the mind in you, which was in Christ Jesus, to make it original. You know, you got to think about this. Jesus would sometimes spit in mud and put it on somebody's eyes, and then the next person he would pray, and then the next person he would do something totally different. Then he would run into a place and start throwing tables upside down and hitting people with whips. That was originally him. That was whatever that was what was on his mind and heart to do it that way. But it was solid to the ownership of the kingdom of heaven that was in his heart, of the mind that was in him. And there's things in your heart and your mind that are original to you. And those things will never be expressed if you don't take ownership of the kingdom of heaven. If you don't choose to get this mind in your heart, if I don't choose to get this mind in my heart, those original things that are me and that are you will never be expressed. Because they're only expressed through a mind change, through an ownership that we have to choose to pick up. Yes, you can be offered this truth and reject it. Yes. God does not force anybody to pick anything up. He gives it to you, gives it as a choice. You want it, here it is. You can say yes and you can say no. But if you pick it up, you pick it up by faith, the same way you picked up your salvation. By faith. Yes, God, I believe that you died on the cross. I believe that you shed your blood for me. I believe that you did that. I believe that you rose from the dead. I receive my salvation. I'm baptized in water. I declare it to the world. I receive my salvation by faith. This mindset is received the same way. Ownership is received the same way. Healing is received. Everything that's received from God is received by picking it up, by believing it. This is a mindset thing that the Bible declares to us. We must have this shift so that everyone of us becomes an original expression of Jesus to the world around us. Matthew 5:16. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Matthew 5:16. Jesus said, "Let whose light?" Your light. Your light. You have light. Your light's different than my light. He didn't say his light, did he? He said, "Let your light shine." What does that mean? That means you have an original light. And when people see that original light radiating from you, by Jesus living in you, and it's an expression of Jesus, but it's got your stuff on it, your light emitting from that, let your light shine so that the world around you sees it and they may glorify your Father in heaven. Let your light shine. How do you let your light shine? You take ownership of the kingdom of God. You take the mindset that I'm royalty, that I'm a joint heir of this kingdom, that I have a place in it, and that I have a responsibility for the success of it. Why is it important? Because there are people in your path that will only meet Jesus because of your expression of God. There are people in your path that need ministering, and it's only the original expression of your light. See, the church thing that we experience and see in the world around us in our day and time, all too often and in the majority of cases, it is not original light. It is not original expression. Because so many of us as believers walk through life, and so many believers do this, and we're copying someone else's expression of the light. Whatever the pastor's like, we're like. Whatever the church we go to is like, that's the light we're shining. Whatever program we're taught, whatever tract, whatever it is. I mean, there's a gazillion things out there to copy. But there's only one you. And there's only one expression of you and your light. There's only one. You're not a carbon copy of someone else. You are original. I am original. There is no other person exactly like you. Even if you're a twin, twins still have differences. They still have personality differences. They still have preference differences. They may look alike, but they're not alike. There's differences. Why? Because there is nothing carbon copy about people. Why? Because God created each of us special and unique and different. And your expression of His light is important to the world around you. And you are responsible for that light. Let your light shine. Don't shine someone else's light. Let Jesus be the expression of your love and your light that shines through you. The original thing is what gets people's attention. Everybody sees the copies. And we all know that in the world around us, this is true here on earth, things that are copied are devalued. You take a baseball card and it's copied, and maybe there's 100,000 copies of it, that card might be worth 2 cents. But there can be a card that there's two made of in the world. And it don't even have to be that good of a player, but it's worth something simply because there's not that many of it. Right? So if we're one copy, one expression, and Jesus Christ shed his blood on the cross for us, God gave his only begotten son to be tortured for our forgiveness and restoration, and beyond that, to give us a part ownership in the kingdom of heaven, how valuable are you? How much are you worth? If God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and of you and me, would do that, would pay that price, how valuable are you? Beyond that, how important is your expression of Jesus? How important is it that your light shines from the original you? Not copying someone else, not doing what your church has told you to be like. All those things are important. But all those things are there for is to help you become who you are, who God created you. All those things are there. The Bible is written. He shed his blood. He put people in your path. Life events happen. Everything is centered around trying to get you to realize that you're original. And that you have a place, and that you have an ownership, and that you have a very valuable and important part in this kingdom thing. And it's not to be taken lightly. And we're responsible for our own expression. We're responsible for our own light. Either we're letting it shine or we're not. That farmhand, you know what happened? His light was flipped on. This is mine. Oh, that baby's going to be orange. And them shingles, oh, we're going to get the best shingles. And when I can afford it, that road's going to be paved. Do you see the difference? If it's an employee, just fill that hole with mud. Paint that thing white. You know what I mean? There's a big difference in attitude. What I'm trying to get across to you today is if your Christianity, if your walk with God, if your relationship with Him is from the servant, employee standpoint, it needs to change. It needs to change to the ownership. It needs to change to the let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Because when that happens and those people come by you that are sick or hurting or lost or undone, and I'm not talking about just here, And doing outreach. It's more important that in our daily lives and where we work that we're letting our light shine. It's not just when there's an event for the church, when the Christ for Life festival happens that we show up and we do our thing. Those are good things. I'm not knocking that. Absolutely not, because we need all the help we can get and be an example in that way. And that is letting our light shine. But I'm saying to you that if we don't let our light shine in daily life, if we don't have the mind in us and the heart in us that I'm a part owner of this thing, then the only time our light comes on is when the events happen. It's true. But if it's from perspective of I'm a part owner of this thing, of the kingdom of heaven, I have a place, I have value, this is important, I have responsibility to take care of this thing, then guess what? We'll do it everywhere. It'll be where we go. It's a part of who we are. It's an expression of who we are. We won't let the world fall apart around us if we feel like we're part owner of it. Guess what? We're going to inherit. He's going to do all this stuff it talks about in Revelation and bring a new Jerusalem down here. But it tells us that we're going to inherit, the meek shall inherit the earth. We're going to inherit this earth. Eternity is going to be spent here. Heaven is all around us. Heaven is a place. But he's going to mesh the two together. And we're going to have a part ownership of this thing. And so if that's the case, then my heart is not to let it fall apart around me. I want to improve it. I want to improve my city. I want to see it look better. I want to see people talk better and people act better. Well, how's that going to happen? If I pray for them, if I express my light through original who I am, and I express Jesus by praying with people or talking to people or sharing God the way you would share God. One person's all soft and nice, and this is Jesus, and another person's like, get right, come on. Slapping it, you know what I mean? We're all different. But you got to express Jesus, and you got to turn your light on the way that it's supposed to be, and that is original to you. I can't do that for you, and no one else can. There's not a teaching, there's not a Bible course out there that will do that. It is simply through taking ownership and letting the mind, which was in Christ Jesus, be also in you. That I am a part of this kingdom. I'm a part owner. I am an heir of salvation. And I'm an heir of the kingdom of heaven. So therefore, I am not going to let the world around me fall apart. I'm not going to let people go by me in shambles. If I can help them, I'm going to help them. If I can pray for them, I'm going to pray for them. If I need to share the gospel with them, I'm going to share the gospel. Why? Because I'm a part owner of this kingdom. I'm an expression of heaven. My light has to shine to the world around me so that they may also glorify my Father. Abba, Father, cry out. The Spirit of Christ in us cries out. It says there, Abba, Father. What does that mean? Daddy. Daddy God. My heart, because Christ is in me, cries out, Daddy God. An expression of this, or not an expression of this, but a good illustration of this. Two things. I just want to share this in closing, but I wanted to share this. You know, as believers too, we get in this place where we need to have this change of ownership, but also we still make mistakes, we still fail, we still do things wrong. And so I want to pour a little concrete in an area here to strengthen some stuff, okay? And that is this. An illustration of this, I read this afternoon, is, you know, if I'm pulled over by a police officer for going 3 miles an hour over the speed limit, and he walks up, I see the blue lights behind me, I'm pulled over for going 3 over, and he walks up to the window, and he gives me a ticket, okay? He has every right to give me that ticket. I broke the law. I was 3 miles an hour over. Now, most cops wouldn't do that. Most of them would give you a warning or check you out and give you a warning, which is their job, and it's good. But I broke the law. I did wrong, right? Okay, now flip that around. What if I'm going 10 miles an hour over? Okay, and I get pulled over. I see the blue lights. Cop walks up, and it's my dad. See, we got to flip this mindset around. Because my dad would give me a warning. He would have mercy on me. Why? Because I'm his son. Your dad will have mercy on you if you're repentant. I mean, I'm telling you, if it was my dad walked up to the window, first thing I'd be doing is saying, Dad, I'm sorry. I know I messed up. And do we not do the same thing with God? God, I'm sorry. I know I messed up. So if I'm repentant and he's my daddy and I messed up, how do you think he's going to react? He's going to forgive and have mercy. See, on the flip side of this, some of us beat ourselves up all the time over what we don't get right or we don't do. But the bottom line is if my heart is repentant and I'm not purposely doing wrong just because I want to be wrong, but my heart is I love him, and I mess up, and I do mess up sometimes, he's going to have mercy. That's his heart. It's like daddy walking up to the window. Are you wrong? Sure. But if I say I'm sorry, because, you know, all of us would, then mercy is going to be applied. We are his sons and daughters. Not only do we have ownership of it, but we have his mercy. We have his love. We have his goodness. This thing's meant to be fun. It's meant to be enjoyed. The relationship with Him is meant to be enjoyed. The ownership is meant not to be a burden, but to be a joy. It's meant to be exciting. What does the Bible say? The joy of the Lord is our strength. So there has to be an element of joy in this mindset. It's not a bearing down, heavy weight, oh, I'm responsible and I'm not doing it. No. It's supposed to be enjoyed. It's Daddy. He's good. He's going to have mercy when I trip and fall. He's going to have mercy when I do something and I mess up, as long as I ask Him to forgive me. Guess what? He's going to forgive me and have mercy. He's going to set my feet back right, straight ahead. And I do not, in that case, need to be beating myself up over it after I've repented. Neither do you. He's good. He loves you. His heart for you is that you succeed. That you become a complete expression of Jesus. And you know what? Jesus, number one thing with Jesus, you got to think about this. I mean, you go back in Scripture and look at this, but even without Scripture, I can think about this. Just knowing God the Father and knowing Jesus and their hearts towards each other. Think about this. Most important thing to Jesus was how He made the Father look to people. I mean, just probably think of scriptural references, but I mean, just boil it down to a basic thing. If you love someone with all of your heart, not only are you going to treat them good when you're around them, but more importantly, when you're around others, your heart will always be to make them look good to others. See, our light shining, the expression of Jesus shining through us, should always come out to make the Father look good to people. And you know what? It's easy because He is good. We're not trying to take an imperfect person and make them look good to somebody. That's a lot harder. We're taking a perfect, good, and awesome God and expressing Him to the world around us. That's letting our light shine. Taking an ownership and having that mind that Jesus had, and then being original and letting that light shine to the world around us. And being that original us, letting our light shine the way that Jesus would shine. If He were here, He would shine the way Jesus would shine. You're here, you shine the way you shine. I shine the way I shine. Our lights are different. Because we're different people. And God wants to bring all of us into a full expression of that. He wants to lead us into that. That's why church is not meant to be a spectator sport. It's not meant to be a country club. It's not meant to be a carbon copy thing. Never was. It's meant to make every individual that loves Jesus, takes ownership, a completely original expression of God to the world. If you guys would stand, I want to close with this. Just one last analogy. You know, have you ever asked a kid to do a chore? You know what I'm saying? Okay. In our walk with God, it can often get that way. I gotta go do this. I gotta pray. I gotta witness. I gotta go. You know what I'm saying? You ask a kid to do a chore, and it's like that. But if you're a son and a daughter, and you have ownership of the thing, see, a kid doesn't realize that one day this house could be mine. And even if it did at that age, it wouldn't really matter. But you know what I'm saying? To us, it does matter. The kingdom of heaven is ours. We're heirs and joint heirs with Christ, and we're heirs of God, and the kingdom of heaven is part ours. We have a part. We have a stake in this thing. We have a stake and a place in the success of heaven in the city that we live in the neighborhood we live in the job that we work at, and everywhere that the sole of our foot treads that God would give us, we have a responsibility to express and let our light shine, and we have an ownership of the kingdom of heaven in that place. You're going to a place that I can't go on your job or where you stay. And I'm going to places you're not going and can't go. And I'm an expression. I have that responsibility to be an expression of God the Father to the people that I go to, that you go to. That's why it's important that you become an original, that you get this mindset in you to become an owner, that the shift happens because it affects the world around you. It affects people. And guess what? Those people have lights too, and they have an original expression. And they have a part ownership in the kingdom of heaven. Whether they know it yet or not, our job is to express God in a good way. And to always be aware that we are a part owner in the success of this kingdom. And so you guys, if you would just bow your heads, and for a moment I want to pray. Father God, I just thank you for this message. I thank you for your truth. And God, I ask that you would let this mind, which was in your Son, Christ Jesus, be also in us. That we don't think it robbery to be equal with you, to have that heir and that joint heirship with you, that we are your children and that we have a part ownership in your kingdom because you gave it to us through faith and through your Son, Jesus Christ. With salvation came all of this. And so, God, I just ask you now that you would imprint in us that mindset shift. That, God, just like that farmhand sitting at the table and getting the announcement from the owners that this one day will be yours, we're giving it to you. And there was a mind shift and a heart shift that took place. God, I pray that every one of us here today would have that shift, that we would change from an employee to an owner, that we would change to not being a servant, but to being a son and a daughter in your kingdom. Father, we are your children, and I pray that you would stamp that into our mind and our heart, and a renewing of our mind would happen right now, this very moment. That as we open our hearts and our minds and we reach out to you, God, that we would take back into ourselves the revelation of this truth. To let this mind, which was in Christ Jesus, be also in us. In Jesus' name, God, we thank you for it. Amen.